Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 545. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Chris is the number one pick of my heart, but for some reason I traded down and took Jeff.
Oh no. Earl's here. Earl, I'm sorry you didn't get drafted.
I wasted my good intro VR Trooper song that was unrelated to everything, but there is only 2 days left as of this recording, which means when this goes up, this will be the final day for you to watch Godzilla vs. Kong at home until it eventually comes back on HBO Max in like 2 months. But for now, this is your last chance to watch.
This is your first last chance to watch.
Will it go to rental like after that? Because like some of the...
It will go HBO Max, get off HBO Max. It will go to theaters. Like, it will be in theaters only.
And so then you don't think... You don't think after Friday you'll be able to rent it on Amazon for 20?
No, because you weren't able to rent Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman eventually came back later on.
Woman. I think there was a gap, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman digital was like March or so, and then it's now back on HBO Max in 2 weeks.
Imagine paying for Wonder Woman.
This is what happens when your movie sucks.
I didn't mind Wonder Woman. It's not my favorite DC movie, but
yeah, you were the one. You were the only one.
I think I made it like a half an hour in. I'm like, I can't watch this. This sucks.
It's better than another movie we're going to talk about shortly.
So. I would not agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree.
And Jeff is here.
Hello.
He was already drafted by Tony. So
that's right.
Mortal Kombat is back. In theaters.
Who could do the theme song? Who could do it?
I mean, the theme song isn't really anything. It's like,
is it just like a bunch of just one word?
And he's basically saying who can shout Mortal Kombat the best.
No, do the fucking like.
It's a tech. It's a doom 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 doom.
Yeah.
Like I thought you were like,
yeah.
Well, do Mortal Kombat.
And then do. Yeah, do it.
You can. Johnny Cage.
Oh God!
On your blade.
That's only a movie thing, right? Like that's not. That's
I really regret trading down. By the way, I'm just telling
jumping,
you that.
Jumping totally in the deep end of this real quick. I did love late in the movie before the end credits. Like they do the music cue of. I think it's like when Sub-Zero and Scorpion are fighting.
There's several musical cues to the actual theme song, and I was gonna say they just kind of give you blue balls throughout the movie because there are several times where they have notes from the original theme song, like put into.
I just noticed it in the big fight between them. Yeah, that's more noticeable.
I think partially because I listen to that song way too often. I own it on vinyl. I will put it on YouTube randomly every so often. Is that I notice songs. So there are parts. I think it's like 3 or 4 times where it's just mixed into the score. But like it's usually around like a big fight. I think it's also kind of mixed in when spoilers. I guess we can say there will be spoilers for this movie.
We're gonna spoil the hell out of it. But there's no story to just speak of. So it doesn't actually matter.
When Ko gets his powers, there's also a version of it in the score as well. And then it's again, because I remember tweeting out like this movie's just giving me blue balls for this theme. I just want the theme song. And it's like the theme song does not happen until like the end credits. So yes.
When you guys have like normal friends over, do you sometimes like play something like that, like the Mortal Kombat theme or some other video game music or something, and get yelled at by your friend?
I object to the implication that the four of us are not normal. Oh, we're not.
I'm more curious about this friends over business. I have not had friends over in a long time.
Well, like when we could have friends over.
In the olden time.
Yes, and in the before times.
Oh, here's the thing. All right, you come over to my house, right? Like, I will play music. Like, we're hanging out, grilling, maybe have a fire going, right? You play music. And since I am DJ, like, I'm going through my shit, and I'm going to, like, lean towards stuff that I'm into. And that backfires literally every time in my house. I get yelled at always.
That's fair.
I got yelled at for that shit too, you know.
Yeah.
I just can't win.
Part of my job. I always say, like, come with the safest, most bland and gayest ever offend people, but it's like we have to have it energetic. So you, and like, I mean, you've probably been to events and parties where it all just kind of sounds like random, 20 song boring.
Half the time.
That's why I only
look at that. It's that Jadong after eight again.
I only feel safe playing like classic rock, you know, like otherwise I'm gonna get yelled at. I feel like it's gotta be like
jazz classic numbers, rock. It's like Journey.
But yeah, it's week we had our annual gala. I think I mentioned on the show before, and part of the discussion, like, we were honoring Spikey, like, oh, we should get some music from his movies, and they were like, call it a spade, a lot of our audience are white people, and it's like, are they going to hit head?
They know Fight the Power.
Number one, but they probably haven't seen most of his movies because they're white people.
But it's the
same would they recognize the songs as being from his movies?
Probably yeah, that's not. The thing. Or if they did, like, it is kind of like, it's also not the type.
Well,
of
most of his music, most of the music in his movies is that composer. I can't think of the guy's name. The guy's super good though. has anyone seen 25th Hour?
I mean, I've seen it.
That has really. It's Terrence Blanchard, I think, is the guy. Like, he uses him for almost every movie. So, like, it's like, you know, classical. That's like most of the scores of Spike Lee's movies.
Yeah, I mean, he's used like licensed music.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I was referencing from Do the Right Thing. Doesn't he start that one with Fight the Power? Yeah, with what's her name dancing all fucking crazy, Rosie Perez.
I believe so. So they told you no on that, Earl.
Oh, it was not me. I've learned my lesson. I've been here 3 years now. I just don't make suggestions because I know they're either gonna get shot down or it's yeah. Because I'm a very thematic person. I like things that, I mean, you folks follow me on Twitter. My movie marathons tend to be very themed. If I do an event, I like them to be very themed. So like, if you're gonna honor Spikey, like, yes, it's gonna be very Spikey oriented. And we just ended up going with the jazz that people enjoyed. But again, it's like.
I don't know why that idea would get shot down. Did you try to like say, hey, we should play this? Like,
no, they mentioned it, and then somebody mentioned it, and it got shot down. And I'm just thinking, like, that would be cool. You're honoring Spike Lee. Have
this thing honoring Spike Lee. Like, okay,
the guest of honor at our event.
Yeah,
but well, I'm sorry that nobody likes your music, Jeff.
It's very unfair.
He was downgraded in the draft. That's why he was still available when I was picking.
So I would also say, I mean, yes, I do also, like, as much as I have the Mortal Kombat feels like more of a, if it, anything, it feels like more of a club song because it has, like, it's not,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's not necessarily something you want to listen to while reacting. Because there is, like, there's music that you listen to when you're by yourself, and there's music you listen to with a group that's like, oh, it's interesting, but it's like kind of background noise. Like, I wouldn't necessarily use like heavy metal when hanging out with friends, for example.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't play heavy metal ever. I'm not super into it.
I honestly tell people heavy metal to me just always sounds like noise.
I get in trouble for, like, I'll play like pop type stuff that's like current. So, like, people will not know it, and that makes them mad. Or, like, movie scores. No one wants to hear this shit.
I mean, that's the thing, Jeff. Like, I mean, you know, we both listen to current music occasionally.
Yeah,
and, like, people that, at least my experience, and sounds like based on yours, like they don't keep up with music. So,
like a lot of people as they get older do not keep up with music, or like if they do, it'll be like they'll like buy the new albums from the people that they listened to in high school, like people that no one else cares about anymore, but they'll like keep up with that band or whatever,
right?
At best, and you know, and then like. Maybe know one or two more recent things that, you know, are such huge hits that, like, it's impossible not, like, try to think of an example. Like, what was that? The Cowboy song, like, last year? Like, everyone knows that.
Old Town Road?
Yeah. Everyone knows that, right? Like, because, right. like, fucking, your, like, five-year-old kid knows that. But, like, for in general, like, yeah, I get in trouble with, like, but again, like I guess the stuff, newer stuff I listen to too is like Taylor Swift and like, you know, I don't know, like definitely not like typical fucking dude music. So
my kids have been like something's come on, they're like, this is a TikTok song. I'm like, what the fuck is a TikTok song? Like this is indie pop. Shut up. Like, no, people use this on TikTok videos. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like that's a step too far. Like I can keep up with some modern pop music, but
see, I think the thing you would like, if you had to describe like the current music I'm into, is like synth pop, like churches. Like,
yeah,
I really like.
But oh, I also think, like, just, like, okay. I thought you meant like church music for a second.
But no, man. Church, yes, they do, yeah, like,
this
they
is just religious space. What are you talking about?
Jeff's gone full on religion.
That's right. We're just getting past Easter. Jeff had some revelations.
Yeah, if you ever hear that, like, there's a body snatchers thing going on. Like, be most, scared.
Most people call church music gospel music, Jeff, but you do. Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. That's right. We're talking about Mortal. No, let's talk about Mortal Kombat and how this movie was terrible. It was super bad. This is the worst movie I've seen in a long time. So, but I enjoyed it. How are these two things true at the same time?
Wow, I was not expecting that. That's my review.
Jeff had a good line last night. What was it, Jeff? Like
basically, it's one of the more interesting movies of the year because the reactions were so all over the place. And the thing that's awesome about it too is that like. Everyone's right. Like, it's a terrible movie and it's a blast. Like, both things are correct. Like, that's the thing. It's like someone came up to me and said they loved Mortal Kombat. I'd be like, hell yeah, dude, right on. And if someone came up to me and said that movie's a piece of shit, I'd be like, you're right, dude. That movie was terrible. Like, and I'm not like betraying my actual thoughts on it. It's like, that is my thoughts on it. Like, I agree with everybody. Like, I think it's a piece of shit and I think it's like a glorious. Fun time, but like,
I think in our chat I described the movie as like pornography. Like it's the same idea as a porno, right? You have those scenes, yeah. That's what you're here for, you know. And then there's a bunch of stuff that connects together, and that stuff is all shit.
That sounds bad and misguided. But like, I do think all things the same. Like I was saying last night on our other podcast, I think like I would like so I will never defend this movie. But I think you could keep the same awful plot and script, and I would defend it way more if you got a good action director to do it, and if the fights were actually good. I don't think the fights are very good. Like I'm having fun with it because it's goofy, it's silly. There's some like cool fatalities, you know what I mean? Like wow. It's not like the martial arts itself. I think it's poorly cut. And like I watched The Night Comes for Us right after it. I'm like, why didn't they get this guy to fucking do this movie? Like, he's the perfect fit to do Mortal Kombat. I don't know if anyone else agrees with me. I think that, again, like some of the stuff in the fights is cool, but I think they're poorly edited, not as creative as other recent stuff like The Raid and stuff like that.
Well, I was not expecting a Raid. I understand it's okay. Well, before I get into it, I'm just curious. How did you folks watch it?
I watched it in bed on HBO Max, and then I watched the last half hour at my couch on HBO Max.
I watched it with my wife and son and our youngest daughter.
Which, oh no,
maybe wasn't the best, but also we didn't give a shit. We have four kids. Like, she's nine.
She's already been corrupted. It's fine.
Yeah, it's too late for her.
I watch it in bed by myself.
I only ask because this will color my impression. I watched it on my TV, but I watched it over with like seven friends, and we were like drinking and like
the talking. First time.
The first time.
Okay.
Because it was one of those things where it's just like it could have gone either way. So we're just like, we're in for the ride no matter what. Like, I do want to watch it on my own. So yes, I am very biased because like I think watching something with friends going in that you're going to make, like, yes, I'm sure there are plot points that I miss, but to Tony's point, I got the gist of it.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
Can you imagine?
Need it. You do not need the plot. It doesn't matter.
Could you imagine seeing it with like a rowdy, like 9 o'clock crowd on Friday night, like at a theater? Like,
that would have been
pretty fun.
and I will say this about as much as I enjoy the HBO Max strategy personally, I think you could tell that with major blockbusters, if there are those that are just created to get a big reaction in the audience, that does not work as well at home because you don't. It's just like a few people. Like when Scorpion shows up in the third act, like I imagine that would get a huge ovation from people. But it's just like, oh, cool moment. Or right. Like when Kano does his fatality and he rips out the dude's heart. And he says, is that when he says Kano wins?
Yes.
It's totally like certain types of movies, like especially like fighting movies, like are the type of movies that if you get the right crowd, like people will be yelling at the screen. That's fun, man. Like, it's fun to see a movie like that where people are like shouting and getting into it. Like,
yes, and that's why I asked, because like I know my first impression is colored by the fact that I didn't mean it's not the same exact thing, but I did get
you guys were kind of like doing that though. Like,
yes,
fuck yeah, like here he is, like.
And because, and you know, we were synced up pretty well, so it's not like anybody was spoiling anything or saying anything ahead of time. So it's like really nice to kind of see that. And I think there was some, again, I think I understand your notion with the fights, but I also think they made a really good use of a lot of the powers. I didn't necessarily. It's kind of like it's the curse that blockbusters have had since Batman Begins, where it's like we really, really want to over-explain things that don't need to be explained. I don't need to know why Kano shoots a laser out of his eye. I don't need this to be a subplot that. Figuring out his...
It has to do with midichlorians, obviously.
They spent a lot of time, like... I guess I was okay with them, like, having to discover their powers. Like,
I didn't mind it, but it's just like... It's just
it
like,
takes up a lot of time in the movie, yes. Though, doesn't it? And then they, like, speak through the fights at the end.
It takes up a lot of time in the movie, and the actual premise of the movie is given two lines that are never really fucking explained. Like, as to why any of this is happening in the fucking
about, like they keep talking about the tournament.
What tournament? Here's the thing.
I do enjoy that the plot was like just like really like tossed out there like that though. I do enjoy it like that, Chris. Like, because it's just like I don't care, and so like I love that the movie didn't seem to care. I think I even wrote that on Letterboxd. I'm like, this movie doesn't give a fuck about the plot, you know? I like that.
The one thing I will say, and this is, I mean, this is a qualm that a lot of people have, but it's like, because they go over it several times in the movie, that like, Mortal Kombat's a huge tournament, and we never see the actual tournament.
Yeah.
So like,
what would the evidence of the tournament? With, like, all we know is like,
with the ending with the tournament? Like, I get that, like, they were, like, trying to work around the tournament with the bad guys the whole time, but it's like, because still could have, like, even just present the fights kind of tournament style at the end instead of like this mishmash that happens where it's just like everything is like too fast. Like it's like you don't feel like you get enough fight out of any of the fights that are happening. Like even though there's like five or six fights happening, like it's just like, okay, I saw, I don't even know what I saw. Okay, but then the fatality was cool, so I guess I had fun, you know?
I have no idea what's happening. Like, why is Scorpion there at the end? I have no idea. Like, he just
has risen from hell.
He's related to the no-name
at
dude.
That very moment, it's just stupid.
He's finally come back because his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson finally got his powers, and he needed to save his bloodline.
Sure.
And I guess.
Can we also talk about the fact that he got like the name his powers ever? Like, you're gonna create right? a new character, and you give him armor.
He's got magic shirt. That's what it is. Yes. Magic shirt.
Bronze armor that like
he had the Black Panther armor because he could absorb energy. Yeah. I think that's what he was doing. And then he gets a baton, not a baton, a nightstick. And I'm like, oh, so you took the one thing that Stryker had going for him. But like, okay, one dude shooting hazes out of his eye. The other guy has like this innate ability to use like this saw hat as like a boomerang. And you get
you're like baton. Another guy's like literally making fire.
Yes,
he makes a dragon. He makes a fire dragon.
Yeah.
Like, dude, your power's lame.
Even Jack got the magical arm.
That did the fire dragon.
Yeah.
I remember
that is a fatality.
Remember that happened? I'm like, right? I'm like, this seems like a greater power than like the other people. I was like, what the fuck?
And like Sonya Blade, like. Gets like purple lasers that come out of her arms. This
and you're like magic shirt.
Is the fire dragon something Liu Kang can do though? Like a fatality?
I'm assuming all of those were modeled after.
I think it is something he could do, but it's just funny because it sticks out when it happens. It's like okay, I guess like anything could happen really, but.
But yes, he got magic. I'm like, oh, this is what we've been building up. It could happen. And I'm like, okay, he's gonna show his power now. And I'm like, oh, that's it. I thought the armor was gonna be.
I was really hoping when he had the dagger that he was like gonna turn into Scorpion, like because hero yes. can't be this lame. He can't be this lame. Oh yeah, he was that lame.
And I'm like, you have the like Mortal Kombat. There's no rules. You have guards who do lightning. You got a guy who could freeze. You got the Scorpion is what a hell demon. You got ninja. Like yes, you can do anything you want. It's like gonna give him magic armor. And it's only the top half. So if you cut off his head, right? He's screwed.
Yeah, he's weak in some areas.
It was just so. And then again, I mean, not to harp on the plot too much, but yes, like the whole middle portion where like Raiden creates a magical barrier that apparently is just easy to break if you just move the statue. It was like, oh, the bad guys know where we are. We just have to like keep time killing so we could get to the third act.
Yep.
How do you guys like feel about the plot in general? I think it's like kind of widely accepted that like that's one of the dumber things about the movie.
Okay. But, well, like, the dumbest thing about the movie
isn't part of it though. Basically, like that kind of is the story of Mortal Kombat. Is like the Outer Realm is coming,
but,
right?
Like, but I think that's the problem. Is like it does the part of the movie. It does the part of the game that the game tends to ignore. Like, there's a reason there's no Mortal Kombat game step before the first Mortal Kombat, like the final Mortal Kombat tournament. It's because nobody cares about like how they got to the tournament. They want to see the tournament. And this is basically, this, a lot of this is a backstory from the game where like Shang Tsung hires people to take out some of the warriors. And I think the original Earth Champion, Kung Lao, gets murdered. First tournament, and then Raiden, not Raiden, because Raiden's actually in the. The problem with comparing this to the original Mortal Kombat movie, for example, there's been 10 games, and the story, because I actually watched a video on this week, because I want to get caught up on this story. The story in the game gets really dumb.
Because it gets dumb.
I mean, it starts dumb. Because there's a point where like, everybody gets wiped out, so they reset the timeline. They reset the timeline, and then Raiden messes up. So there's like 3 or 4 timelines in Mortal Kombat right now. And so this is like trying to like mash that. I also think like they tried to introduce a fair number of people who were both on the good and bad side, and I think some characters got the short end of the stick for that.
I felt like I saw some reviews saying all this thing is like trying to be like the Avengers. Like I could kind of see what people are saying, but like it was just I really did feel like too much. Like it was like every 2 minutes you're meeting a new character so they could say a line. You know what I mean? Like,
normally that line is. I'm Sonya Blade.
Or like it's just like some like stock line from the series or something. You know what I mean? Like it's like they'll like say fatality or I forgot who says that actually, but It just felt like people were just showing up just so they could tick a box and say, like,
"Not as was in the movie."
Yes, and that gets to my favorite point, and I think everybody's favorite point is that Kano seems to understand what movie he's in.
Nobody else does,
and everybody else is like, "No, no, we're here for a movie." And
Kano's I'm
like,
acting. No, I'm acting. Look at me acting.
Kano's like, "Nope, we're here for."
Well,
a
actually,
good time.
Like the guy that plays Kano comes across as more natural than most of them, I think. Like, he's actually good acting, I think.
Yes, because he knows what movie he's in.
Yeah, he knows it's complete horseshit, so he's just, like, hamming it up.
Everybody else is like, no, we're doing Shakespeare.
But, like, he's, like, I was just, like, just pure, like, mechanics. Like, he feels more natural. Like Sonya Blade, whoever played her, and whoever played Cole felt very like wooden, like stilted to me, like just bad actors. I'm sorry to say, but this guy felt like he was a good actor hamming it up.
Yes, and I think part of the problem with that as well is that Cole, Sonya, Raiden, and New Kane are all characters who exist to give us exposition. And you don't need four characters to give you exposition. I think they did a disservice
just keeps by Cole, so, like, you know, supposedly like the main guy kind of here, like he's supposed to be like
yes
the main character, and he kind of like falls to the wayside almost, and
he should.
It's terrible. Like the guy is just like, there's nothing to his performance, there's like nothing there, like
because there's nothing for him to do. He's just he's basically around for every character to talk to somebody to explain what's going on. Like, and yes, one of the things I think they added that I don't like the aspect of being the chosen one is not something new, but being like everybody's a chosen one and they're all born with this birthmark, and this birthmark is apparently magical and can transfer from one person to another once you kill them. One defeats the purpose of a chosen one, technically speaking, if you can just kind of kill them and take their birthmark. Yes, and apparently they have special blood because you could taste it, or taste the act of it. So yes, there. I mean, if you sit down and as we're doing, if you sit down and actually think about it, it's a really dumb movie that does not necessarily make a lot of sense and comes together, but it's a very fun and entertaining movie.
Yeah, yeah. But I was just thinking now, I have a little confession about Cole, because like, I thought Cole was going to become Scorpion. Like, I thought that's what they were going at. I don't know if that like makes sense to you.
No, I think
that's what Tony was hoping for too, right?
Yeah,
and I thought, like, I swear to God, I thought this was going to happen, because there's a part where like Goro busts out of a fucking shed and like comes after him. I thought he was going to do like the down back move where he fucking like Goro's jumping. I thought he was going to teleport to behind Goro and kick him from behind, because like Scorpion has that move, and that didn't happen. And I was like, that's weird. I thought that was going to happen there. And then, like, no, he's not Scorpion. Scorpion just shows up. It's the fucking dude that got killed centuries ago. Fucking
which is actually Scorpion.
I don't know, dude. I don't know any of the fucking, like,
no, but yeah,
actual stories. And if they're making changes anyways, like, this guy was a new guy, so I'm like, oh, they're going to make him Scorpion. And I have a further confession, too, that's even worse. At the end, I thought they were implying that he was Johnny Cage, but I guess
No. He's going to find Johnny Cage, because there's definitely going to be a Mortal Kombat 2.
I mean, it's definitely going to be. It's done well at the box office, and it was like one of HBO.
And it cost like $12 to make. So
yeah, obviously.
And it shows, right? Because I'm almost certain they were like CG'd on all those environments. But yes.
Sub-Zero is cool, though.
No pun intended.
Sub-Zero is great.
Okay, I was going to say, my big beef with Sub-Zero, though, because Sub-Zero is a hired assassin who gets there really cool in fights and then kills nobody.
That's true.
He kills, quote-unquote, kills Jax. Jax is still around. He kills Cole's family. They're still around. He does kill Bahai? Is that Scorpion's original name?
Yeah, he fucking ices Scorpion's original family.
He kills his family. That's the only thing he actually kills his family.
That opening was pretty good, because it felt like a real martial arts movie.
Yeah.
And
that's probably the best part of the movie.
Family, like, I'm just like, damn, dude. All right. Like, I was like super on board at the beginning. I mean, I was on board throughout, but like.
Yes, I don't think it. I don't
slowly
think it
realized
ever
it was
the
not
high
good.
Of the. I don't think it ever reaches the high of the opening scene. As, in terms of like, in terms of a mixture of like violent fighting, prodding. Like that has that's a very nicely self-contained story. And if they had made it a story about like basically, if I don't know if you've seen the animated movie, Scorpion's Revenge, that is very much the plot line of that. It's just Scorpion raising hell throughout the Mortal Kombat tournament to get revenge. And if they had made that the center point of the movie with that like that revenge plot and like the tournament going on, it could have worked well. But the fact that it's introduced and it is like a through line throughout the movie, but really it's the opening, it's the opening and the ending of the movie, and everything else is a separate movie that deals with these combatants getting ready for the tournament.
That just, they never have.
Like, they're so afraid to just do a movie that's like about like a tournament. Like, it's like
but they everything aren't had, they did the first one.
I know, but that's fucking forever ago. Like, everything has to be this like superhero type fucking mold now. Like, where like you have to assemble everybody, and like it's just like it would be awesome to watch like a tournament martial arts movie. Like,
and then they killed off half of the people, so in the next one they got to go assemble them again.
If we're gonna have the tournament, like yeah,
what I'm assuming most of them, I assume most of them aren't dead. Like I assume Kano will come back with like his eye missing now.
Yeah, yeah, true for sure.
And Sub-Zero never dies, so I think yeah, I think there'll be an easy way to write, or they'll just have like Goro. Oh, Goro died. Goro died.
Yeah, Goro's dead.
Yes.
And that what Melina? She got. Sawed in half, didn't she?
Did she?
Who got sawed in half?
I don't know, but that was the best fatality in the whole fucking movie.
It was pretty good. Somebody got their head exploded.
Oh, right. When he threw the hat on the thing, and then yeah. Yes, that was awesome.
Which I think is a fatality, I want to say.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of moments in that movie where they're like, all right, this is the exact thing from the game. We'll do that. Yeah, we did that. We'll do that with the kicking, you know, the whole like, air kicking thing.
Yeah, the sweeping.
Was there no X-ray thing in the movie?
No, I was surprised they didn't do that.
Which is always ridiculous in the games because it's like, oh,
that's been a staple for like the last three games, right? Like
it's been, yeah. I always find it funny though because like it can happen anytime in the game.
Yeah.
And like they just continue fighting. You just like ripped out his like spleen or something. He's like, all right, I'm so ready to go. Yeah. There'll be another one, though. Johnny Cage will be in it. We saw his feet.
What one in a sequel, aside from a better movie?
The tournament?
I honestly don't care. Like, the story could be just as dog shit as this one was. I want a real action director to fucking do it. And I want the, like, I'm sorry, like, you could totally go for it as violent as The Raid or anything like that with Mortal Kombat. It's Mortal Kombat. Like, fucking give me it more like that than this here. This is still, like, despite, like, the really violent, like, fatalities, that, like, it all kind of feels a little cartoony. I probably won't get what I'm asking for. But...
I think it's always going to feel cartoony, Jeff.
Yeah. Just
because I mean, it's Mortal Kombat.
They're going to put these people in ridiculous costumes.
You could still give it a different vibe, man. Like you could.
Well, I mean,
do it a different way.
I think the big issue for that is always going to be that like what you want from Mortal Kombat isn't necessarily straight martial arts. You want the powers, and you want the, and I think that's always going to be at odds.
You can mix that shit and make it make it look good, make it look cool. Like,
but the way you're going to do that is like there are going to be because you're not going to get straight shots, you know, and stuff like that. And then it's going to be like we're going to complain like if you have a fight, like why isn't he using the fireball there? Why isn't he freezing that person?
I use all the shit and it will look like a fucking awesome, like make it look like an awesome 80s movie, like fucking where it's just like people are doing awesome crazy shit and then like there's,
I mean,
like,
I have the 80s, but I mean out. Some of the 80s action is really, it's not a great action.
No, I mean like the look of the film, like the look I want the action to look like modern, like post Raid, you know, that's how I want the action.
See, again, I
but give it like not, an 80s not, film grain.
That's
like,
not Mortal Kombat, though. Hey, Mortal Kombat.
I don't care if I fucking.
But it's a Mortal Kombat movie. You know, if anything,
if we're gonna stick to, you know, this wasn't Mortal Kombat 100% either. Like it did its own things. Like
yes, but it's still
did
kind
it really.
It was still
it had a stupid like dragon tattoo shit like.
Yeah, but that symbol is all over Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that okay. symbol is.
It's like, I mean, they made up Ko. Yes, they made up Ko.
That's not like a story in the games, right? Like,
no. But I mean, like, that's different than being like, okay, we're going to film this as like a serious film. Like, I mean, they tried that. If anything,
I don't mean serious. I mean, just.
No, but you want it to be more artsy, which I don't necessarily get. Like, if anything, I would want it to be more hokey. Because I feel like, especially like Outrealm, I felt like that was grounded. Like, it's like in the games, it's like this purplish environment. And it's like, no, it's just dark skies, which aren't even dark. It's still like broad daylight.
Just a desert.
I think. Yeah. I mean, I would like to see like the artsy, dark, fucking crazy, fucking Mortal Kombat, but like, I still think you could do modern action and have like a fun, silly vibe to it too. Like, I think it's a possible thing to do. Like, I don't know. You can make the fights actually exciting and have it be a silly movie too. Like. I don't think I'm asking for too much. I don't even care about, like I've said, I don't give a shit about the plot. You can make it as bad as this one.
I just want the action to be framed a little better.
Yeah.
You can actually see the fights instead of the hyper active cuts that they were making.
Yeah, where the fight becomes indiscernible, like what exactly is happening, because that's basically what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to really improve anything. Like, just, well, you have to improve that. That's about it for me.
Yeah, but back the camera up and stop with the quick knife on the cuts. Anybody got anything else to say about Mortal Kombat?
Movie of the year?
Is it? No.
No.
I don't want to get into this. I mean, of the HBO Max movies this year, blockbusters, I do prefer Godzilla vs. Kong more as a experience and as a movie. But like I said, I'm happy that they're doing this. I think it was a ton of fun to be able to experience it with friends in this climate. I am also looking for friends here. We're going to potentially run out of movie theater to watch that or Godzilla vs. Kong on the big screen in the next few weeks. So that's exciting.
Nice.
Do you really think, like, if you're really being honest with yourself, you think about it, like, which movie do you think you're going to see more over the course of your life? Godzilla if at all. Kong. I don't know if I'll see either of these again, but I would totally watch Mortal Kombat again.
I mean, I've seen Godzilla vs. Kong 2.5 times already.
Yeah.
So I will repeat it that wins. One. And I will rewatch this one as well. I mean, it's far better than Annihilation, but I don't think it holds a candle. I don't think it holds a candle to the original.
No,
I think the original was just a really, it's this very special mix of just like being kind of cheesy and campy, but also just kind of knowing what it is and knowing it. Because again, the first one doesn't have a great plot either, but it knows it and it just throwing the movie and gets you to those fights.
Yeah.
I think all of those characters knew what movie they were in, and they exemplified it perfectly. I think also that one, again, just because of the notion of the game, they just had a smaller cast of characters, so you could focus the story and give each person a clear, defined arc. Where this one is so many characters to juggle.
I've not seen that one.
You haven't seen the original? Oh, go see.
No, I've seen it, but probably since theaters. I don't think I've rewatched it, honestly.
Oh, it's
good. So I don't remember it, but like, I'm just saying, like, imagine that movie, but then like Goro gets his guts ripped out. Like, I don't know. That sounds like it would be the ultimate. Like, better than this, anyway.
How bad is Annihilation? I've never seen it, so
I've heard it's.
I think people throw around worst movies ever way too much.
One gets like cited a lot. Like that is the worst movie ever. But
the
like
animality
as a very terrible movie.
Yeah,
I will say this much: it's not even the worst video game movie I've seen.
That's true.
I mean, there's Uwe Boll movies out there.
It's not. I will go as far, and I rank these on my website. It's not even the worst video game based on a fighting game that I've seen. I think personally, for me, I think Legend of Chun-Li is worse. I think King of Fighters is worse, And my least favorite video game fighting movie is Tekken 2 Kazooie's Revenge.
Is that the one with Chris Klein? Or
that's Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh, okay. Legend. Okay. I've never seen either of these.
There was a Dead or Alive movie, too.
Okay.
Which
so
is actually a ton of fun.
What were you saying, Earl?
No, I've seen the Dead or Alive movie is actually a ton of fun. Because, again, that's okay. A movie that knows what it is and just kind of.
So there's a guy I follow on Twitter that like really knows this kind of genre, and I saw him like saying this after the Mortal Kombat movie that came out, that the fights in Dead or Alive are like far superior than the new Mortal Kombat, and I think he kind of said it was a better movie.
It's hard to compare because they're going for such different things, and I will say that because I rewatched Dead or Alive last week, actually I rewatched it before I watched Mortal Kombat, is that it is very much a movie that is made after Crouching Tiger and The Matrix. There's a lot of wire works. There's a lot of like that, like panning camera shots. So yeah. A lot of that will depend on how much you're like, oh, this is cool, but it's clear you're just ripping off more popular movies of the day.
Hmm.
But again, it kind of understands, but like I like the way that it incorporates a lot of game elements into it. It like your point, it is very much a big tournament movie. I think the ending gets really dumb because like the big climax of the movie, spoilers, is like 15 years old at this point. It's like Eric Roberts is the big bad, and he's just been studying everybody's powers, and he gets like these magical sunglasses that allows him to kind of see everybody's fighting style and be able to counter it and fight them. And yes, and then and again, it's like Eric Roberts clearly does not care to be in this movie, who has like one of the weirdest running animations ever. But yeah, it's fun. I would recommend it, but. I'm gonna need time to digest it and see which one I prefer. I will say off the top of my head, I prefer Mortal Kombat and I prefer Street Fighter to this definitely, without question, without hesitation. I don't like my third one, and this tends to be different for other people, as I like the Tekken movie, and I'm not a huge Tekken fan, so I don't always speak with authority with that. I have a ton of fun with it. I know people who are diehard Tekken fans don't necessarily like it as much. So, but I really do enjoy the Tekken movie, and it's also my secret shame. I've watched way too many video game movies.
Give me a Soul Calibur movie.
I am curious about
that. Would be sweet, dude.
There's a Dynasty Warrior movie coming out in China this week, and I'm curious to see how that does.
That could be nuts.
Like it looks like it does look like that is like that is embracing the insanity of the video games really well.
Video game movies. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
HBO Max for the next...
Mortal like, Kombat!
Weeks. Is Mortal Kombat the king for you? Like, of all video game movies, is the original Mortal Kombat, like, the king for you? Like, the best one?
Yes and no. No in the sense that, personally speaking, Detective Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog are much better, much more, like, those are what I would actually call good films. I don't necessarily know if they are as rewatchable or as entertaining as Mortal Kombat is, but I say they are better movies. Like, if I'm going to say, like, what's a good, like, what is an actual good video game movie, I would be Detective Pikachu, it would be Sonic. And I'm a fan, I know not everybody is, the Tomb Raider movie. The one that came in like 2018.
I just kind of forgot anything that happened in it. I saw it.
It was fine. An okay action movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
I still love the original Resident Evil movie.
That's also a good one. That's up there. I like the original Silent Hill movie, but
that's what mine would be, honestly, is Silent Hill.
Silent Hill's okay.
But I always, whenever I bring it up, like my friends who are Silent Hill fans just remind me that it butchers the franchise. And I'm like, but it's a movie that I enjoy. I think it's a really good horror movie.
To me, it's like the most, out of any video game movie, it's the one that feels most like a movie. Like it feels like something that could have existed without being based on a video game.
Well, you see, I feel the same way about Sonic and Detective Pikachu. Because Sonic is pretty much just like Alvin and the Chipmunks and all those other CG creatures, live action stuff. So that's a ton of movies. And Detective Pikachu, I mean, it's essentially the 2020s versions of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both fun. I don't also know how the movie of Silent Hill butchers the series when the series itself butchers the series.
Well, I don't want to get into it because I'm not a Silent Hill fan, but I do feel like it's that like you speak to Silent Hill fans and it's like they are fans of certain games and then you get to like Downpour and like some of the later games and it's like no we're talking like 1, 2, and 3 like those are the good ones.
I don't disagree, it's just like the series continued on and they got some of them are very bad and that's all Konami's fault, but anyway, you guys play anything this week? Nothing new really came out, but I didn't know if you guys had played anything else.
I played one of Earl's favorite games.
Oh, which one is that?
I played Titanfall 2.
Oh, nice. That I was preparing for the worst, but that's actually a correct answer.
I have no idea how I didn't finish the single campaign to player campaign to this the first time around, because it's freaking awesome.
Yes.
I think my biggest problem with it was like I played so much of the multiplayer in the first game and I found the multiplayer in it to be disappointing, so it kind of turned me off getting into the single player. But this time around, like, I'm just like, all right, I people talk about the single player to this game, I like Titanfall, I'm gonna go back, I'm gonna try it. And it's a lot of fun. It's like, it's well-paced. It's varied. There's like cool platforming sections. It's really well-designed. There's like characters that you want to beat up. There's the cool relationship between the main character and his Titan. Like, it's fun. This game is really fun. So I'm enjoying it.
Did you get to the two really cool levels yet?
Okay, like, so I don't know what you mean by the really cool levels, but I did do the level where you're climbing up the town. That's
it's like keep
that is so disconcerting, but so cool at the same awesome time. I don't know what the other one is. It's probably what comes after.
But... Yep. So we'll wait for you to get there because that was really odd. A lot of people say that the other one might be the best level in a first person shooter, but.
It was like, and there's no fighting in that level. Well, not until after you get to the top.
Yeah, it's a boss battle there, but
yeah, and that fight's actually pretty cool too. But like having to navigate the city like in the wrong direction, I fell so many times, and I'm like, wait, shit, I can wall run.
Yes,
but it's not the wall. That's the thing. You don't think of wall running because it's not the wall; it's the ground that you're wall running on.
Yeah.
But once you get your like bend your mind to actually do that, it gets pretty cool.
But and here's the thing that drives me nuts is like I understand like they were like Titanfall 1 was not a huge success, so they wanted to make it more like Call of Duty the multiplayer. It sucks to play the single player, and it's like, oh, why don't you incorporate a lot of, like they incorporate a lot of that stuff in the multiplayer, but the multiplayer ends up being just Call of Duty where it's like, okay, just kind of shoot. So you don't want to end up doing wall running and stuff because you're just an easy target.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the Titans take a backseat more. I've not played in a long time, since probably a little after launch with the multiplayer, but I felt like the Titans took a bigger backseat this time around, and they're easier to destroy. Where, like, when Titans came in the original, it was just like, oh shit, we have to refocus energies on that Titan to take it out.
Well, I think in the original, like, wall running was a tactic because you wanted totally to be able to move around.
Yeah.
Use it as an escape vector and use it to get on top of the Titans. And I think they take some of that away by creating, like, bigger open field areas. So, like, yeah, I'm not going to wall run because they're going to look for me on the walls because that's the only thing out here. The Titans aren't as strong, which is it's disappointing because you get one. It should be like, yeah, this is awesome, but it's gone in 30 seconds.
Yeah, everybody just tears through it. But yes, I was going to say, I mean, as much as I would like to think I've helped, how much of this was because it was related to Apex Legends?
None of it, actually. I didn't even think about Apex Legends until I was playing, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, all the guns I'm using are from Apex. What the hell?
Okay,
but it's the other way around. It's the guns in Apex are from Titanfall.
And one of the new characters.
That's right. Yeah, they had the Troy last week that was tied into Titanfall.
Yeah, she's related to a boss character in Titanfall 2.
The one I squashed?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't remember.
And I mean, I played a demo of a newish game. It's a port, but I was just like, oh, I have a podcast. I might as well. So I tried the demo for Miitopia, which is a port of a 3DS game to the Switch. And I've never played the 3DS version. I don't even think I played the demo of it. So I really didn't know what it was. I just assumed it was an Street Pass, which it is in some ways. But it's actually, I mean, so far I'm having fun with it. It's a really quirky and kind of funny RPG. So if the name does not give it away, you use Miis, which are not a huge feature on the Switch. And the Miis that you populate are different characters. So you have a main character, then Miis will be like any townsfolk. You could put a Mii is the big bad. Different Miis will become like enemy types. Like just the faces on the enemies, not like and stuff like that. So like, for instance, like I don't have any Miis on my system because I have my Mii because you create one, but I had no Miis. But you can just go online and import them. So I just go and find the most popular ones. So like my couple was Scooby Doo and Death. I had a bratty son that was named Batman, and his mother was Raven. And you go in and it's just like you have all these like adventures. It's a very simple RPG. Like it's turn based. You have attacks. There's some different classes. Like I ended up being a pop star, which means that like I attack with a microphone, and then like my specials are more support based. So it's like stuff to amplify, like pump up your teammates and stuff like that. But it's really nifty that it's different. And then I hear like I looked it up. You can unlock classes. Like you can be a cat. You could be a cat, it's a cat. You could be a tank. So it's like, it's nifty that it has all these fun, quirky casts and stuff you don't know. Like it has like archer and swordsman and thief, but like these things you see in an RPG. I like that. And the fact that again, like you're populating this with everybody on your friends list. So I'm going to go through, I don't think it's worth $60. But if I do pick it up, because right now I'm having fun with it, and I'm just going to wait for reviews to see if like this format wears thin. Because it is, again, a very simple RPG. It's not like you're doing like this. You have weapon stuff, but it's not like you're doing like, you know, like you have to worry about a bunch of different stuff and stats and figures and all that other fun jazz. So I'm curious to see if this can maintain itself however long it is. But it is cute. I'd recommend checking out the demo.
Nice. Jeff, you play anything this week?
Rocket League.
So no.
Rocket League's quite a bit of fun.
It's very fun. I don't know if I told you guys this, like we got it like cross-platformed out like crazy. Like my girlfriend's in the bedroom playing on the TV on the Switch. I'm in the living room on the Xbox. It's like seamless. It's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I'm sure that's like not a new thing for maybe most people here or whatever, but like I've not done anything like that yet, like the cross-platform shit. So I was pretty impressed by it.
I've done it with Fortnite.
Fortnite is the big one for me because I think my core group is a PC and Xbox, but I've played with people on PS4, and I've had parties with. I'm on Xbox, one person on PS4, one person on Twitch, one person on the PC. So it happened. And then I played Dauntless. Beautiful game that is cross-platform. Mm-hmm. I'm on my 360. I'm on my Xbox. And my friends are on the Switch.
That's the Monster Hunter type game.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Minecraft Dungeons. I was on Xbox. Two friends were on PC, and one person was on Switch. I've done a lot of cross-platform. It is really awesome, and I really it is becoming more and more the norm. But I need that to kind of be the default. And for somebody to just come up with an easy system where it's not, most of the time it works, but it's also kind of annoying that you have to have like different fronts just for all the different games.
One interesting thing, though, is like my girlfriend, she's playing on the Switch. There's like Nintendo specific cars. Like she's playing as a Samus car, so it like kind of looks like the windshield is like the green visor of Samus, and then the car's like the gold or whatever, orange. And like when I play against her or with her, not against her, but with her on online, like she just looks more generic on the Xbox, like just like a generic car.
That's weird.
Yeah. So I think maybe it might be like, you know, some weird thing like, you know, the Nintendo characters can only appear on the Nintendo.
I don't know if the other companies do that, but I know Nintendo does.
Yeah. So I mean, on the one hand, it's awesome. Like I saw her picking out her car, like, or, you know, setting up her car on the Switch. And I was like, damn, that's awesome. Like I almost want to play on the Switch. But then I see her on, well, I'm playing with her. I'm like, she looks nothing like that.
That's a shame.
I mean, not a huge deal, but
yeah,
interesting. It was like an interesting thing to note, like that there is some like alteration happening between the games.
You also finished what is it, March to October, or the baseball, the you know, simulated portion of the season.
Yeah. So once you get into the playoffs, like you play every game, but you don't play the full game. They'll like start you in the like the sixth inning, basically, of each game.
Okay.
I went. Who the fuck did I play? I got in the World Series. The Dodgers, I think.
And you ended up finishing that up.
Yeah. But like, so I had dynamic difficulty selected, and by the time I got to the playoffs, I don't know if it does this on its own or if I was just naturally getting better and they raised the difficulty too much, but it was like all-star difficulty by the time I was in the playoffs. I was like, like it would start. So it would start you in the sixth inning of every game. But like, because you're on the side difficulty, it'd be like, you know, you're down 4-1, like come back in the next couple innings and win. And it's like, and the pitching and the batting is extremely hard on that difficulty. So like to string together a good inning is like impossible, dude. It's like, you maybe get a solo home run here and there, you know? So I finally was like, I need to lower the difficulty. Like I need to set it manually to something. And I don't know if it's just because I was in the playoffs it was like this, but it was like, if you want to do this, the only thing you can switch to is a beginner difficulty. And by the way, you lose some of your rewards playing through this mode. But I was still like, I can't do it. Like it was literally impossible. So I went down to the beginner difficulty to finish the playoffs. And then it became like, then batting became very fun, and you'd get RBIs for fucking days in an inning. Like it was awesome.
That's baseball. I'm still playing Road to the Show. I've reached July in Double A.
Ooh.
Have you been playing it a lot? Like I played it almost addictively, like while I was going through the season. Like, and I, as soon as I won the World Series, I have not played it since.
Yeah, I mean, like because like I'm still progressing, so I've been playing almost daily.
Yeah.
It's just baseball seasons are so long.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What are they, 182 games?
162.
That's crazy. Why I like the mode I played through. Like it was like I got through it, you know, it would probably last most people like 2-3 weeks, you know what I mean? Like I powered through it.
Yeah.
It was a good length. Like it felt, and obviously like most people will just keep playing more and more seasons or whatever. I was just I beat the game. I'm good
about now.
Yeah.
We also played some Zombie Army 4, continued our campaign. We tried Horde mode. That was interesting.
Horde mode was hard.
I mean, we did well for the most part. It is interesting how it sets up. I do like how it's set up that it's not necessarily a Gears of War where you're buying more, or Halo, where you buy more and more better equipment with points. It's just as time goes on, stuff unlocks. And you can pick up whatever you want. It's not like, oh man, I need to have 1,000 points now to buy right. better shotgun or something like that. But yes, and again, also again, like Gears of War, especially with Gears 5, I think, where you have, I forget what the actual thing is called, but you're the device you can carry around with like all the weapons and ammo.
Fabricator.
And you could set that up and you create your own base. It's like, no, we're not going to keep you safe. You're going to hang out here for like 2 rounds. Then we're going to move to the other side of the map. Betty haul ass. Or you're going to be screwed. So it's nice that they kind of keep you moving in that way.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Call of Duty's zombie mode, but a bit more structured. And there's also an ending to it, evidently. We got...
I think we're close to it. Yeah,
we were one round away from finishing it. But you guys talked me into picking up a chainsaw and trying to take on 4 big zombies with it. That didn't
How dare you? For me.
I should have just backed up and tried to continue to shoot them. But
we were just trying to help you.
Those guys seemed really bullet spongy, though.
Yes, especially the guy with the chainsaw, like he would go down and then get right back up and charge at you. It was crazy. And I guess like we had to wait for like if I had cleared that, then you guys would have respawned.
Yeah,
but yeah, it got really tough at the end. Like just a ton of zombies everywhere.
It's also kind of funny because you I looked at the achievements afterwards. You get achievements for like beating. Like it goes to 12. That's how I saw the 12. But then there's one where it's like, oh, you gotta beat it by just using your pistol. I'm like, that's not gonna happen. I get like trick friends and say, you folks cover me.
Well, you max out your pistol.
Yeah, I suppose like if you got all the upgrade kits and you know, like maybe if you had like a super strong pistol. And if everybody else was using weapons.
Yes. Like, it basically would have to be, like, people, like, 4 friends agreeing, like, okay, you do the pistols this time, we'll cover you, and the next time I'll do the pistols, and yes.
And then we continued on the campaign, which, I guess there's a story going on there. I have no idea what it is. I was, like, running from point to point and killing things.
Yeah, there are lots of zombies to kill. Killing the zombies is fun. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. How is the campaign, though? Is it fun?
It's Left 4 Dead-ish.
Yeah, it's pretty much like any of these campaigns. I mean, it's like...
They all feel the same.
It's really the same campaign.
The graphics are good. Like, it's the shooting feels good. Like, it's well-designed.
Like, finish there's the location, they whisk you to another country, and it's like you do the same thing all over again.
Yeah. And like I like the ending to the Italy one, the Venice one, like where we all jumped on the boat and everybody got the same cutscene, but it was them in it, like the zombie shark jumping out of the water at you. That was kind of cool. Yes, Jeff, zombie sharks.
We do need to work on
not
that.
Zombie pants, zombie sharks.
Need to work on our elemental kills. I mean, our environmental kills. We are not nailing those as much as the game wants us to. Because we didn't
I didn't even realize, like, Tony and I were standing right next to it. We could have been using that shark that entire time. We were just lighting up the zombies coming up out of the water.
Yeah, especially, like, Tony became a big fan of the bait grenade.
Bait grenade. Because they'll just, like, bunch up.
Yeah, and you had the shark right over here. Could have used them then. But yes, it's a ton of fun. It's a fun game. But yes, as far as like structure and stuff, it's World War Z. It's Left 4 Dead. It is that same. You're just gonna get pounded by a bunch of zombies. You have like, certain classes and weapons, and there's like limitations, so you don't like melee everything. So it's like your melee charges forever. I don't think any of us really understood the special attacks yet, do we? Or
no idea. What like the RB LB one?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that does at all. I know that like I have an electric punch that almost at this point disintegrates the enemy when I do it.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm not really sure what the special is that we have.
But it exists, so.
Yeah, should probably figure that out. Might make us a little more successful.
I mean, that's the problem is we are successful.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. We don't need it.
You know, we're playing on default difficulty, so... and like that's you know, it's challenging enough, but it's also not frustrating. Like,
the one thing I will say, and I think we noticed it before, but I think we really noticed it this weekend. It's like a lot of that stuff, though. It's like it's a very predatory payment system because like literally everything else you in the game, yeah. You have to pay for weapons, you have to pay for characters.
There's a lot of stuff to unlock in like for each of your characters directly, but yeah, there's like a ton of other characters, ton of like special weapons, which I wonder if they're more powerful than, and if they are, that's kind of shitty. You know, if those weapons you can buy are actually stronger than the ones that we have access to. But
yeah.
I've continued playing Resident Evil Code Veronica X. I have made it more than halfway through the game now. That one's, it's okay. I'm liking it more than I did last week. I'm now playing as eventually you get to play as Chris Redfield. And it's kind of like what I enjoyed in the original Resident Evil 2 was where, you know, you're going through the B portion of that game, and stuff that you've picked up in the A portion is gone. So there are items that Claire can pick up in the front half of that game. And when you take over Chris, like you're exploring portions of the areas that she's been in. And, you know, if you've taken the ammo from
it, previous section.
Yeah, it's not there anymore, or the guns aren't there anymore.
Is this within the same playthrough though? Like,
yep, same. So it's like, yeah, you're playing through. You start out on this island with Claire. You meet this guy Steve. You guys eventually escape there and go to Antarctica, for whatever reason, and it's Resident Evil. And then you take over as Chris, and he is looking for Claire. He's like, he's tracked her down to this island, which is funny because Claire went there looking for Chris. But anyway, so he's there after Claire and Steve have left the island. And he's exploring the same areas that, you know, she had already gone over, but you have access to new areas too. But you're some of the same spots that you visited before. So it's pretty cool. Like I had never made it this far before in the game, so
I will play it when they remake it.
if
they ever remake it.
I was about to say, I feel like Code Veronica is one that I assume at some point, but like it's weird because you would think after 2 and 3 it would have been the next, not necessarily 4 again.
Yeah, and it should be because, like, you know, 4 is the more modern style.
Like, I think 4 still plays pretty good, dude. Like, I played it last year. I thought it was good.
Like, I don't love 4, but yeah, it plays very well. This plays like one of the old Resident Evil games. So
yes, it does. Like, and to me, it lacks a little bit of the charm, even though the graphics still look terrible. It lacks a little bit of the charm. I don't know. Like, it's.
Yeah, it's. In fact, like, it seems like they are trying extra hard to, like, hit that B movie feel. And, like, I don't necessarily like it quite as much. Like, there's. You know, the first couple games, like, yes, they're like these goofy B movies, but they're not like anime to a point. the main villain in this, at least for the first half, is like straight up like an anime villain and over the top performance. You know, your buddy Steve that comes around, he's annoying as hell. It just doesn't have that feel. It's like they knew what they wanted to do, but they didn't know how to replicate it. It's like you stumbled across it the first two times. But anyway, I think there was a little bit of news this week. There was a state of play that happened today for Ratchet and Clank. That game looks awesome.
Very, yes. And I mean, the game looks really good. But they also announced that Among Us is coming to PS4 and PS5.
Mm-hmm. And there's a little Ratchet guy that you can play as in Among Us on.
Yes,
on
and then you can. Yeah, Clank as a pet, or yes, I think that's what it's called. I don't know. I don't think they do anything. I think they just follow you around. I don't even think they're in the game. I think they only follow you around when you're in that little space station waiting.
So Clank is virtually useless.
Yes, I believe. I don't. Any of you were big into Among Us? I was going to ask because I don't.
I still haven't played it.
Oh, okay. It's on. I think it's on Game Pass. Or it was on Game Pass. But yeah, it's like I played it when it was hot and heavy ass fall, but I haven't really played it since. I know it just got a recent update where they added a new stage, but
yeah. My kids were playing it when it like got hot, but I never jumped on board, and then I have not heard them talk about it for quite some time, so there were some financials, I guess. What Sony and Microsoft both released financials. Both companies are their game divisions are doing quite good.
Shocker!
Yeah, I can't believe that a global pandemic would force people to do stuff indoors. Huh, go figure.
Yeah. So Sony has sold what, like 7.8 million
fives,
PlayStation fives, which is more than the PlayStation 4 during that same time period. And they're still sold out everywhere. So, same with the Xbox, although we don't have numbers on them, but they're consistently sold out as well. What else was there? Oh, Microsoft on the PC side is cutting their rate
to better match. I think, is it Epic?
Epic, yeah.
So that 12%.
That's good. I mean, I think the Windows PC store needs some other changes as well. Probably get away from the universal Windows apps and allow for actual modding of the games, but it's a start.
Yes.
And what else was there?
Well, I mean, while I will say the most random piece of news of the week. Nintendo.
Oh my god!
Mario Party Online patch. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was 3 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
In honor of Jeff, because he's normally awake at that time.
Two and a half years after the game was released. So Super Mario Party now has online. Well, it had online before, but now it has like actual proper online. We can play the board game and partner mode online with friends. So, yeah, I actually went into work on Wednesday to pick up my copy because my copy has been sitting in my desk in the office for about 2 years now. Because, again, if friends have it, I don't never need to play it. And it just sat there. I'm like, oh, now it has online. I have an opportunity to actually use this. So hopefully I can get that going. I checked it out. I found a lot of videos and impressions. It does seem like online runs smoothly for the most part. It seems like it's very much in the vein of like Nintendo's peer-to-peer, so it's going to be dependent on the first person's connection of the group. So, you know, make sure everybody has really great internet, and it's done at like 2 a.m. where, like, you know, the Ethernet is not being shared by 20,000 people in your neighborhood.
Also, a bunch of new mini games on it, right? Like it's like
it's not new mini games. It's all the same stuff from the core game. It's just online now. Yeah, it was worded weirdly because it's like I think the way they worded it, it sounded like there were 70 new mini games.
Yeah,
it means that 70 out of the 80 mini games can be playable online.
Fuck them.
Jeff was all excited. He's like,
that's like kind of what more got me like excited than anything. But like, I mean, good on them for finally releasing online. Like, I guess dreams do come true. But what the fuck?
Well, now you can find somebody.
Yeah, 2021. I don't know where we go with that, but yeah.
I'm just saying the game has been out
2.5 years since October 2018.
Crazy.
I will take it.
I mean, it's good. It's just like, what? It's weird. Like,
hey, I'm gonna.
Everyone hates Mario Party. Everyone knows.
Could they like do this next week at 3 a.m. with like Metroid Prime Trilogy? That would be cool.
But yeah, it's. I mean, yes. I think it was more than anything. It is. It's the timing. Because like the game hadn't been updated in like 2 years. The game itself is 2.5 years old. It was just. It wasn't like a built-up announcement. It's just like it wasn't even. It's like, oh, Mario Party now has online. It's like
it's just not like, even like what it should have been. You know what I mean? Like right off the bat. Like it's so weird how they did that game.
Yeah,
I think it's a good Mario Party too. Like it's like. It doesn't have a lot of boards, but like I think the games are fun. Like, you know, it's a fun Mario Party board game, you know? I just don't understand why they, like, botched it in some ways. Like, no online, you have to use the fucking Joy-Cons, things like that.
Well, now it has on. I don't mind the Joy-Cons just because some of the mini-games are motion-controlled, and honestly, from a physical standpoint, everybody's going to have Joy-Cons, not everybody's going to have Pro Controllers.
And I know, but it's just like let me do it either way. Like, you know, the pro controllers you have gyro. So
yeah,
like,
I've never going to fight with a company that makes the controller for the system the default. If it's the other way where you use the pro controller, I'd have an issue with that. But the Joy-Con is the system's controller.
I don't know. Like, they're so known for like the compatibility with controllers on the system, and it's like, you know, to get a game going, it's like you gotta kind of use what people have.
Which is the Joy-Con.
I mean,
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying,
I'm buying one thing for my Switch, though, it's not another set of Joy-Cons, it's the Pro Controller. So, like, I think a lot of households will have the two Joy-Cons and a Pro Controller, you know?
I think more households would have the Joy-Con because of that notion of getting two controllers in one. And again, if you think about, like, yeah, I think sometimes we have to like think of it outside of our own bubble because I imagine I have a Pro Controller. I assume most of you have Pro Controllers.
Yep.
But like, I have friends who have kids and stuff, and it's just Joy-Cons because it's easier for their hands and it is cheaper to replace if it breaks. And again, you're getting two of them, and that too works in a lot of games. Like I don't think it works well because
they're
like,
expensive too, though, aren't they? Aren't they like $70 or $80 or something like?
Which is still cheaper. I think it's still $10 cheaper than a Pro Controller. And again, the notion that you're getting two controllers, it's not two controllers. But the notion that you're getting two controllers does go wrong.
Like that, I asked somebody that, you know, a family friend, before all this went down, we were over there and they had the Switch and they like handed me like they didn't even have like the little thing to slide them. They had lost
the shell,
and they're like, here you go, you want to play with us? And like, one,
not really
why,
now.
Why do you have these? And you should have a Pro Controller. Oh, well,
what's that?
Like, yeah, and like that, they don't know. Like, it's like that's they go, I need the controller for the Switch, and that's what the guy at Walmart will sell them.
Yeah, probably.
And then I'm sure there's also the people that go, like, I want the controller for the Switch, and guy tries to sell him the Pro Controller. No, I want the Switch controller, the actual Switch controller. Well, this works with your Switch. No, I want the ones that slide into it. You know, the belligerent customer that's yelling at you, and, like, you're just trying to help them have something better. They don't care.
Well, Mario Party was restrictive to me because I was a person that had just the two Joy-Cons that come with the system, and I had two Pro Controllers that were fucking worthless. So I had to buy another set of Joy-Cons, which I didn't want.
Aww.
But I'm actually happy in the end because they ended up being the neon yellow Joy-Cons, which are the most amazing Joy-Cons. Best color.
Yeah. Let's see what. Oh, I lost it. Castlevania is, I guess, final season coming to Netflix in 2 weeks.
The final season of the current show, because they are saying that they are interested in pursuing future shows set in this universe, but essentially like the Castlevania games, where it's like it might be a different generation of Belmonts.
Which makes sense, like, because this is what the Castlevania 3 Symphony of the Night era people, I think. I don't know, I tried watching it, like, it's a very good series, but it's like, so I have to be in the mood to watch animation. So, and finally, the new slate of games for PS Plus and Xbox Games with Gold.
Real quick, this isn't news, but you did mention Castlevania, and if you are a fan of Castlevania and you're waiting forever to get something, I believe Limited Run is doing a Castlevania special edition bundle, which is like, but I think it's like $200.
Yeah.
It comes with like the Castlevania collection, and it comes with all of this nifty stuff. So like, yes, if you are a diehard fan of Castlevania, I mean, that's something to put on your radar. Like I said, my beef with Limited Run though is like, you can order something and it won't show up for, it could show up in a month, it could show up in a month.
It's a really nice set. I already owned that game twice, though.
Third time's a charm.
I can't. Like, not for $200. For a game, it's ultimately $20. Like, there's some cool collectibles there, but it's mostly, you know, it's going to go on a shelf somewhere.
Yes.
Have to back away. Again, PlayStation Plus, though, is the, to me, the better of the two free games releases. This month they are getting Wreckfest for the PS5.
Wreckfest.
Which is also, I think, on Game Pass currently.
My favorite Breakfast. Meal of the day.
I was going to say.
Wreckfest. Battlefield 5 and Stranded Deep are the other two games. Battlefield 5 is a good Battlefield.
It is, but the also new one's on game- about to come out.
Also on Game Pass as well. So, and then Games with Gold, something called Armello. I don't know what that one is. Dungeons 3. Lego Batman, the original Batman. And Tropico 4, which I think they had like Tropico 5 or 6 like earlier this year.
It's yeah,
like,
there's a lot of Tropico going on.
They're really like reaching into the backlog now to find some stuff.
Oh, so if I remember, I think I might have reviewed this on the last generation. I think it's a digital board game, Armello. That's what Armello. I'm thinking. So,
yeah, it looks like yes, Armello is a grim fairy tale board game come to life.
Weird.
Yeah. Yes, if it has online, I'm down for it. I will try a board game.
I do not claim my Xbox Live Gold games. Confession.
I don't get why not.
I'm like, I'm never going to play this. So but, I just don't even like.
For me, it's really just about, like, I might be, like, for instance, one of the examples I think of is Dead by Daylight and Friday the 13th. I just came to them because, like, they were PlayStation Plus titles at some point. And then, like, I don't know, I came to these, like, 2-3 years ago, and then people got into, like, oh, I have this game. I'm going to try it out, and I have a ton of both of those games.
If I do notice one that I'm like, oh, yeah, like, maybe. Even like, there's a remote chance. Like the ones you just named, I'm not gonna play any of those. Like, so I don't even like. I know you could claim them without downloading them, but like, I just never. I'm like totally wasting that part of my subscription.
Yeah, whatever. I add them every month, but I hardly ever play them. But that Armello game actually looks pretty neat. Now that I'm looking at it.
But yes, I just claimed them because, like, yeah. I mean, what's the worst? It's like I own. It's already. It's not like I don't already have games I don't play in real life. I might as well add digital.
You guys are doing the correct thing. I'm just saying, I just personally, I'd never do it. Like, very, very rarely.
especially being that, like, I mean,
I'll look at them though.
I was gonna say, a lot of the times it's like I follow Wario 64, and he's like, "Oh, came these games." I'm like, click on the link, and you came it on the website. I'm like, "Yeah, okay, no effort." Didn't have to, like, because like I don't use my PlayStation that often to go to the store, but it's like, oh yeah, somebody posted a link. I just click on it, boom, I came. Yeah.
Sony's made it real easy with their app.
Yeah.
So you don't, you like, you just go in and you don't have to download it. It just adds it to your library, and then if you want it, it's there when you go in. They should do that on the Xbox. Just allow Jeff to click a button and it'll just add it for him. This Dungeons 3 game looks interesting as well.
I think that was free on Epic too. It's more of a PC-ish game.
Yeah. I can't tell if it's tower defense.
It's like you build a dungeon. You're like a dungeon master.
Okay.
And heroes and come into your dungeon.
You're trying to kill the heroes as they come in. Yeah. That could be neat. So it's like reverse tower defense.
Yeah. Tower offense.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for games this week. Pokemon Snap comes out tomorrow. Is that accurate?
Yep. My copy's arriving Saturday for some reason.
In like 20 minutes.
Never learn. Just download that shit.
I don't want to play it. My kids want to play it. And I don't have them this weekend. So...
I think I'm gonna pick up Nier Replicant this week, so I'll have that for next week.
Is anyone getting Pokemon, Earl?
I might have. The reviews were good. So
I'm like leading. I'm kind of like you right now. Like, yeah, maybe.
But I'm also like, part of it is also just like mentally, I just don't play video games that much outside of like playing with friends, which I really enjoy. But like me sitting down to just play a game, it's like I will do like half an hour and I just can't. I just sort of throw on a movie or a show or something. I just find passive activities just much more my
speed. Yeah, I put on way more TV now, so I get that. But yeah, I just think, I don't know, this game and even Resident Evil, I'm just like, I don't know, whatever, maybe.
I don't know, you're good.
I'm going to download it right now, but
I'm also just looking and thinking of my backyard because I'm like, oh, I've not touched Fire Emblem Three Houses. I can honestly confess I've not beaten 3D World or Bowser's Fury yet. It's just stuff like that where I start up the game and I'm having fun and I just like mentally, I'm just like, I'm having fun with this, but it doesn't feel fun. Like I'm just like going through the motions of trying to do something.
It's been a long pandemic.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are getting that too. I mean, I find if I'm not playing with you guys, like there are certain games that like I can play a sports game and just kind of sit down and play it. But if I'm trying to play an RPG now, I can't. I literally can't.
Well, I think
of turning it off.
I've been gravitating towards like arcadey type games.
Yeah, that's
like,
why I've had a lot of fun.
You know what I mean? Like
I've had a lot of fun with Fortnite. It's just like very simple loop, and you can kind of do it in 20-30 minute chunks. It's also one of the reasons I went back to Slay the Spire, because again, it's like a very short loop, but you get better, and it's not like necessarily like, oh man, I have Persona 5 Royal and I have Final Fantasy 7 R. Not touch either one of them, because I'm like, I'm not going to invest in 30 hours or 100 hour game right now.
Yeah, I don't want to invest in a 100 hour game at all.
No, there's no way. That's like Titanfall, so I was reading about Titanfall too, and it's like, oh, it's only 5 hours long. Great.
Yes, that is a fantastic end. Returnal sounds like, so that's a possible, though it also sounds like it's hard as ball, so.
Yep. And I don't particularly like roguelikes, so that is not a game I am going to risk $70 on. But it seems like, if you like that type of game, people are enjoying it. At least the critics. We'll see what people will actually think about it tomorrow. Because the Sony Defense Force was out on anybody that had any criticism for it today. And like it's the most lukewarm criticism, too, because the game is getting stunning reviews.
And that's always the worst ones, because it's like, then it's like, oh, somebody didn't like it. Let's get them. Because clearly it's a great game, because everybody else likes it. And it's like, yeah, because it's like, yeah, nobody's
or you didn't love it enough.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's like they're attacking these reviewers that like they
how dare you give them an 8.5?
Really like it, but yeah, why didn't you score it a 9? Why wasn't it a 9.5? Like, you obviously hate this game. Yeah, I gave it an 8. I gave it 85%. I hate it.
Hey, nobody goes to bat the same way for like Pokemon Snap. Like, it got a 60. It got a 60 on the side. Okay.
I was surprised how good the reviews were for it.
I was surprised. There are some negatives, and I mean, part of it is like, but yeah, it's like one of those. But it's like it's such, nobody like if Miitopia comes out and gets like a 75, I'm like, okay, that seems interesting. But yeah, it's like this is because this is like the first big exclusive since launch, so people really, really want it to be a home run, and it's a double.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll definitely have something next week. So, Jeff, say good night.
Good night.